All right, so we're going to be talking this evening about the nature of salvation. And we're going to be looking at an introduction. And second part of it is salvation is a change in our status before God. And Christians have, first of all, they have access to God. That's by them conforming to God's commands. Secondly, they are adopted into the family of God. And we talked a little bit about that this morning, how we receive an inheritance. And finally, we're going to be looking at the inheritance from God. And that's been promised by God the Father long ago to his children of Israel. So with that, the introduction. Salvation involves a change in the relationship between God and the person. How does that happen? God doesn't change. Who changes?
We do.
Not only the way we look at things, but the way we look at things in the world, look at how we interact with our brothers and sisters, but more important, that relationship starts with you and God. And salvation includes God's adoption of believers into his family, his acceptance of them as righteous, and his forgiveness of their sins. Again, it's by God's grace and mercy we have this. And also salvation also includes a personal renewal and transformation through the work of the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen in your life? What happens at baptism?
You become a new person.
You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God is with you. And he's taking you on this journey of life. And what happens when we sin?
Separate ourselves from God.
Exactly. We separate ourselves from God. So salvation is a change in our status before God. We have access to God. And how do we acquire that in our lives?
Prayer.
Prayer. What else?
Study.
Well, we gain access because we're baptized.
Right.
And our sins are removed. So you can't have access to God if you're still sinful.
Exactly. Can I get someone to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, please?
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God.
Thank you, Bruce. So we see that Paul is sharing with the saints at Rome. Christians, believers, are justified by faith. And they have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can be reconciled to God for our sins, is through the blood of Christ. And we obtain our introduction of faith into the grace in which we stand. So it's by God's grace he had given this. But most important, we exalt of the glory of God. That is the attitude that Christians should have, is to glorify God. There are three parts to justification. First of all, grace is God's part in the ground of justification. It's by His grace, His mercy towards us, we are justified. And that's God's part. What do you think Jesus' part is?
Jesus is a righteous judge, and He's also our ambassador to God.
Well, Jesus' part in this plan that God had conjured up before man was even created, He needed a blood sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ. And that's the means we have with justification. The blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And what do you think our part is? What do we have as Christians, as believers? What do we bring to the table?
Faith. Obedience.
Right? Exactly. Faith is our part in how and the how of justification. If we don't have faith, it's meaningless. Justification doesn't mean anything to us. And that's what the way of the world is. They put worldly things ahead of God's purpose. When we meditate on God's word, we study on God's word, we pray for guidance in His word, but there's one other step that we should follow. That is to put God's word into action in our lives. We have to be proactive for the cause of Christ. So, what is the connection between grace and salvation? Can I get someone to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Thank you, Dinesh. So we see Paul is sharing with the saints at Ephesus. By grace you have been saved through faith. That grace came from God the Father. And it's not of ourselves. We can't work at things and say, I did this, I did that. I deserve eternal life. No, it's by God's grace. And it's a gift from God. That's the relationship that God has with Christians. And we as Christians should be nurturing that relationship, building upon it in our lives, growing as Christians. We could study the Bible for the rest of our lives, and we will always be students of the Bible. I know there's so many things to learn. There's so many things to read about. But when you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's one story that comes out of that. God wants His people to be saved through Christ. And it's important that we recognize this in our lives. So what is grace?
Unmerited favor?
Yeah. And what does that mean?
It's given to us.
It's given to us. We don't deserve it. But yet God freely gives that to us. And it also gives us enabling power in our lives. What do you think I mean by enabling power? Okay, Carol.
Or we didn't have any power over sin in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now through prayer with God, we're able to ask for forgiveness, ask for help to not be tempted, and to be enabled by the prayer and being able to commune with the Father.
Exactly. That's our relationship with God the Father through Christ Jesus. And he sent the helper to us so that you and I can be successful, in spreading the gospel, be successful in loving your brothers and sisters, and also people in the world. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Can I get a volunteer to read that?
But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me.
Thank you. This is Paul speaking to the saints at Corinth. It says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Same thing is applicable to us today. By God's grace, we are what we are. And we are supposed to grow in that grace. Thank you for that reading, Magni. And this is Paul. And when you look at Paul's life, he understood that God's grace was given to him. And he didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But yet God freely gives his grace, unmerited favor, his gift to us. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, starting with verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles and fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the work of his power. So the Gentiles were added. Children of Israel thought they're the only ones. And I was doing some studying on histories of religions. I mean, there's so many. It's mind-blowing. But yet, you look at all these different religions. They have a home base. They have an organization. They have a starting point. Church of Christ had a starting point. But the Church of Christ doesn't have any earthly buildings or organizations. We follow God's word through the Bible. And that's so important, because when you look at all the religions, they have some sort of starting point, some sort of, like for example, the Roman Catholic Church, their headquarters is in, where is it?
Rome.
The Vatican.
Vatican. Rome.
But yeah, where's the Church of Christ? It's in the Bible. That's what we follow. We follow God's word. And this was also given to the Gentiles. And the Jews were probably upset because these Gentiles were just lower than anything. They were lower than even the Samaritans. according to the Jews. But yet, when you look at what happened to God's people, he destroyed the temple in 70 AD. But yet, a sect came out of that from the Pharisees, and they're continuing on as if they were the children of Israel. And when you look at how far they deviated from God's word, it's pretty scary. But yet, Paul says, the Gentiles, fellow heirs of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's by God's grace all this happened, not by what we do. And I'm lost here. Okay, here we go. So when we have access to God, we speak of the grace of our God in our lives. We mean what? One, our ability to live a perfect life. And can we do that? No, not at all. That's why we study the life of Jesus in the Gospels. We have a roadmap, if you will, to lead us to be a perfect individual. Each and every one of us could be like Christ if we try. And it's fascinating to me when you look at Jesus' life. Who did he hang out with?
Sinners.
The low of the
low.
Yeah.
Thieves. Because he knew those individuals needed salvation. What about us today? How are we attracting individuals? Think about that. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's very difficult. I have had problems with these homeless people begging. That's their job. I've seen them on the street switching positions. If someone was in need, truly in need, I will help that individual. But if someone who is abusing the system, why help them at all? But yet you have to show the love for that individual's soul. And that's what Jesus did. And that's why we're studying his life through the Gospels, to see how Jesus reacted, to see what he did. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees who were attacking Jesus, he still was respectful to them. And why is that?
I think Pharisees and those that abused Jesus had a grudging respect for him because they knew he was good.
Sure, absolutely.
They were abusing what they had.
And that happens today in the society, in our world today. People abuse the relationships. But yet, Jesus still loved those individual souls and wanted to see them saved. Even Paul in the book of Romans, chapters 8, 9, and 10, he pleaded with his comrades, his countrymen, and he said that I will even give up my salvation to see if my countrymen will be saved. But yet they didn't follow. They didn't listen. And many of the Judaizing teachers plagued Paul during his ministry throughout his career. Now, the grace of God in our lives means God's compassion and mercy towards us. Again, we don't deserve that, but yet he gives that to us. And we should have a total dependency upon God. We read stories in the Old Testament, and it's interesting when you follow those stories, they all intertwine. You look at Abraham. He was just like you and I. He sinned. He called his wife, Sarah, his sister. Truly, she was his sister. But also, she was married to her. We sin. David sinned. And through the blood of Christ, we have access for forgiveness. So we as Christians should have a total dependency upon God. And our lives are fulfilled by God's unmerited favor, God's grace. We don't deserve it, but yet he gives that to us. Christians show the grace of God by being courteous, kind, gentle, tender-hearted, compassionate, loving, forgiving. What does that remind you of? What verses does that remind you of in the Bible? Dad, I mean.
Well, 1 Corinthians 13 mentions those.
Absolutely. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Love doesn't brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek his own, is not devout, and does not take into account of wrong suffering, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things and endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. Tonight, I'd like you to go home and look at this verse. But I want you to change the verse. Instead of love, put your name in there. For example, Lenny is patient. Lenny is kind. And examine your life through the lens. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, to him according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in love. And build a God's gift to you and I. So we're adopted into the family of God. Can I ask someone to read Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, please?
God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, been an heir through God.
Thank you, Carol. So Jesus came and he was born under the old law. And he followed the old law. He didn't change it then when he came on scene. He lived under the law, the Mosaic law. And when he was nailed to the cross, that old law was put away, which allowed Gentiles access also to God the Father. So we receive an inheritance from God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified in him. And Christians today do suffer. We look at the first century Christians, they suffer. They suffered to the point of death. We don't have that looming over our heads, but maybe someday we will. Where would you stand? Would you stand up for Christ? That's something you would have to make that determination. And we receive an inheritance from God in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Can I ask someone to read that for me, please?
Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light.
Thank you. So thanks be to God the Father. When we approach God, we should be very humble and grateful for what he had given us. And that he had given us an inheritance. And that came from God. And John in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Again, we have that attitude of looking for an inheritance. Our inheritance in Christ is imperishable. And Peter talks about that, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Again, focus on God's commandments. Focus on his will, not yours. And we see that even Christians today, they're doing it their way. Not following God. They think they're going to be saved. I hope God will extend them grace and mercy, but I don't know. That's up to them and God. And it's important when we come together, we are worshiping God. We are learning from his word so that we may be better Christians in our lives. Again, Peter said, and we talked about this first this morning in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 5. Our inheritance in Christ is imperishable. And number 5, verse 4, to obtain inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, and it's reserved for you in heaven. That is phenomenal. That's the gift that God promised Christians, that God promised you and I. And again, our inheritance is in Christ, is reserved. Can I get someone to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, please?
In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory.
Thank you, Di. So we see as his children, we gained our salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel. And when we believe in that, he sent the Holy Spirit to help us along our journey. And he gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge of our inheritance. That is wonderful. That's something that all Christians have. And we as Christians should not abuse that. Okay, Carol.
Looking at you were sealed with him, the Holy Spirit and the promise. And I think the old time seals, you know, the people understood that, and we understand it sealed with the promise. But I'm not so sure that these young people believe that anything is sealed, because there's so much information that nobody believes, you know, going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for people, I think, in this time to understand that something can be sealed and promised and that it won't change.
Exactly. And when you look at God's plan, he said something and it happened. It may not happen 5 minutes from now. It may not happen years from now. But what God said, it's going to happen. Believe. You know, it's important for us as Christians to remember we're dependent on God for everything, even the very air we breathe, he has given us. You know, we don't manufacture this ourselves. It's God's grace and God's mercy. Well, thank you very much for your participation and your input to our class. And before we are dismissed, we just have to remember, if we are in need of God's mercy and grace, if you are faltering in your Christian walk of life, we encourage you to come over, come forward, so that we can pray with you and get you back on track, so that you can gain your eternal life.